Shut up.
I was just Chris is wearing two pairs of glasses right now.
Oh, are we?
Yep.
Are we doing
that's
this?
What you get.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks so much for starting. Okay. All right. Thanks, Danielle.
Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle.
I'm Chris.
And, you know, long time no see.
Yeah,
right?
It's been a while.
Chris is alive, guys.
I
he didn't die.
It was a little touch and go there. It was a little touch and go there, but I'm okay.
We're good.
No, it's all right. And this week, we changed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of film.
It is.
This week we...
I really tried. Because I feel like we end up watching like the same kind of movie.
That's true. And then we always end up making the same comparisons.
Yep. The Departed.
Whiplash.
She's going to bring it up right now.
How phenomenal. Anyway,
we
watched Fargo.
We did.
The 1996 classic.
Mm-hmm. Coen Brothers.
Yeah, Coen Brothers.
Number
like
151.
I said. I told you. 151.
Yep.
I feel like that's pretty fair, actually. I think that's the first time where I've heard a number
You're
and been
like,
all right,
that's the
okay.
one. Yeah.
Maybe not. I'm not even going to say that it should have been like 10 above or 10 below. Like, I think that's actually like right
on the
money.
Nose. Yeah, it's like middle of the road.
Middle of the road.
It's like right in the middle.
What's?
There's 250 on the list.
250. No, I mean, I know that it's called the. I haven't been away for that long, Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Danielle. Do we want to give a little synopsis, just a little quick rundown of what happens in the film?
I'm gonna cough. I'm kind of sick, so I apologize. Anyway. Fargo takes place in just middle America.
Fargo, North Dakota, right?
Fargo. Well, actually, the murders take place in Fargo, but I think it takes place in, like, most of the action takes place in, like, Minneapolis. It's, like, a whole thing.
Bro.
It does! I know someone from Fargo, and he was like, I met him, and I was like, oh, so, like, the town in the movie. He's like, actually, only the murder takes place in the town. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, William H. Macy, his name, yes, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of the movie because I never can. He hires these two guys to kidnap his wife because that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And just a whole bunch of hijinks ensues. Mm-hmm. Five murders? Six?
Yeah.
Five,
so what
six?
Happens is this guy, this car dealership, you know, executive, is desperate for money. He
for some reason.
Thinks a way, his initial plan is to hire these two thugs through this car mechanic who he knows. He hired these two thugs to kidnap his wife, thinking that what he'll do is he will have these two thugs extort, quote-unquote, you know, this money from his very rich father-in-law.
Mm.
So, you know, for his own. It's never really clearly explained why he's super in need of this money.
Right.
It's
and then
of,
he does the loan thing.
Yeah, it's sort of more just established that he needs a
he
quick
needs
payday.
Money.
You know, and is willing to go to any sort of ends to achieve it. It looks like in the, you know, sort of about a quarter of the way through the film that he may be able to achieve this through a deal that he's going to make with his father-in-law. However, they sort of screw him out of it.
Yeah.
Because they don't really trust him. The father-in-law and his business partner screw him out of it. He is trying to call off these two thugs who have already kidnapped his wife, unbeknownst to him. She gets kidnapped. Five people get murdered,
mm-hmm.
and everything just kind of goes to hell for this guy.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. I really liked it.
Mm. I think it was kind of classic. You know, just having seen, like I told you before, I think the Coen Brothers films for me are kind of hit or miss, and having seen The Big Lebowski, unfortunately, three times. I don't like The Big Lebowski.
You've seen it three times
I've
you don't like it?
I've seen it three times,
have people
I
done, like, the whole,
it.
Like, you have to watch it again. Watch it with me, and you'll like it
yeah,
type thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe, you know, those people are... You know, planning on bringing along some illicit substances, you know, to increase enjoyment. certainly happened to me on my second go around. Not that I partake. Anyway, mm-hmm. I just admit that on tape.
You did.
Fantastic.
Got you. Call on the SWAT team.
Yeah, no, it's such a Coen Brothers film, though, where it's not like they're, you know, it's not like this is The Prestige where the whole point is the twist.
Yeah.
It's just, they're sort of like, they have your head and they have one, like, palm of their hand on either one of your cheeks, and they're just slowly pointing your head in different directions. And it's pretty cool. And I think if I were to have an aunt, if I were to add an aunt to my family, I would want Margie.
I love
aunt.
Her.
What a
She's
peach.
My favorite.
What a peach.
Like, she's pregnant as hell. She's, like, running around, like, being a great detective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, she was, and she's so, like, sweet.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
he was, like, talking about, and the plates were, like, DLR, and she was like, you might want to check your detective work there, hon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so smart, but you're mm-hmm. so sweet. And then she's also, she's got that, like, Minnesota nice thing going on,
mm-hmm.
but then also she like she'll like cut
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
off if she doesn't feel like it's working.
I love the way they introduce her character. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a phone call kind of in the middle of the night, and they say something about something bad, and you're kind of half expecting the husband to get out of bed, and she just goes, I gotta get up, I gotta go to work.
I love her husband.
And, you know, she gets out of bed, and he goes, I'll make you some eggs. Like, right? I'll make you some eggs,
He's
I'll make
so
you some
whipped,
eggs.
I love it.
Don't worry about it. All right, we'll get back to that. we're not gonna unpack that right now. You know, she gets out there. You don't really see that she's pregnant either.
Yeah.
You don't really see that she's pregnant. She gets out there, and you're kind of having, you know, she's this sweet Minnesota lady.
Yeah.
And you're kind of expecting her to freak out about a triple homicide.
And she's like,
and she gets out, and she's like, what do we got, a triple homicide? Oh, yeah? You see that shit? That shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And, she, you know, she goes, all right, where are the two of them?
Oh, geez.
One of them's laying face down out there.
Yeah.
I'm, like, getting into Irish right now, and I don't know why. And, you know, she looks in, and she sees the fact that this teenager has been, like, brutally murdered. And she goes, I think I'm going to barf. And you're like, oh, because she's just witnessed this really terrible thing. And she just goes, morning sickness. And you're like, oh, Margie. Oh, you savage.
She's my favorite.
Oh,
I loved
so
her.
Cool. And you're right. She's an incredibly intelligent character. She's also a really awesome antithesis to this idea of the grizzled, you know, city detective who's, you know, I'm getting too old for this shit. I'm 2 weeks away from retirement.
Or like the like heroine that's kind of popular today where she's like really like emotionally like tough.
Exactly.
And just like she's just like sweet, this sweet old lady,
yeah.
But she's like amazing.
It's kind of like a cool female character where she's just like, you know, in her own words, she's just doing her job.
Yeah.
It's her job. She's good at it. She gets up in the morning, eats her husband's eggs, you know, meets him for lunch.
Yeah.
Does a little bit of detective
work. Does he
work,
have a job?
Side.
He, like, draws things for stamps.
Don't
it's
really
adorable.
Know. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. The only thing with their relationship was just, like, is she happy in that relationship? I feel like she is, but I think it's interesting that she can be happy in that relationship.
So this,
to
this,
a point.
I think that's a good segue into this idea of, or at least I think an idea of Midwestern life that this film kind of tries to push that permeates just about every aspect of, you know, of this movie, from the music to all of the shots that are, you know, all the shots that come in between. Yes, the office goblins have returned. We have different goblins coming every now and again, and two new ones are just about to be initiated. Anyway, you know, between the music that we use in transitions, and the transitions themselves are uncomfortably long.
Yeah.
Always very snowy. There's very little to look at.
There's like,
very strange.
They very like try to drive home. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
Like there's snow and maybe a bar and that is it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and also the fact, so that's sort of how they get you in terms of the ambiance of the film. And I think they also get you in the characters because no one in this film besides the three hardened criminals is like really mean.
Yeah.
Not even the guy who has sort of set all of this bullcrap in motion. Is really
I would disagree
you
with
disagree
that.
You think
I mean? Would disagree I think he's got the whole like Minnesota nice facade going on.
Oh, no,
but
he's incredibly
like,
manipulative.
He's awful.
Yeah,
he like forgets about his son completely. Like the guy was like, so how's your son taking? He's like, oh right,
oh Scotty,
he's there,
right?
Yeah,
I'll
he's a thing
go
about
talk to Scotty.
Yeah, my son, who's probably traumatized that his mom's been kidnapped. Like, maybe, and then...
Maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, the part that I think they tried to drive that home with at the beginning when he was selling the car, and he was talking about how he gave the guy the sealant, and the guy was, like, having, like, an aneurysm because he dropped an F-bomb at him. And then he was like, yeah, let me go check with my boss, and I'll see what I can do. And he's like, we can drop $100 off the price. So he's very manipulative.
Yeah.
He's, like, not a good guy.
No,
like,
you're 100%
at all.
Right. But that sort of facade is, I think, something that the Coen brothers are trying to get you to believe does exist.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of kind of shades of that Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, that sort of Boston Tough thing where, you know, people sort of, again, another reference to The Departed, people, you know, look one way and feel a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having lived in rural America, for a decent portion of my life, having lived in small towns, like I can tell you, there's a lot of that to go around. And I'm sure that that's something that they wanted to, you know, communicate when they were writing and making this film. So I think they get it through the characters. And then finally, so the point that I want to speak to in terms of what you were saying about the relationship is, like, that's kind of, you know, that's, when you've been married 20 years to somebody and you live in the Midwest, you know, it's not all The Notebook, you know, it's not all How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Like, it's, you get up, you go to your job, you do your job, you come home. If, you know, your husband's painting winds up on the stamp, you congratulate him,
but
you watch TV, and you go to bed.
At, like... 9 o'clock. And then she like wakes up.
I hope I get to a point in my life where I can go to bed at 9 o'clock.
I love when she like wakes up and she's like, oh, what time it is? And he's like 10:45. And she's like, you were so in a deep sleep at 10:45 at night.
No, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was so weird. That scene legitimately made me uncomfortable when
It made me so sad for him. It was weird.
Yeah. Oh, it was
like,
super weird.
It was weird. And that's what I was talking about, how she just kind of like, she doesn't take anyone's like crap. Like he like came over to her side and she's like, I want you to go back to the other side. I'm not feeling this. God, I don't want this.
It was just so, I think she's also got to a point in her life where, you know, I would say if I were going to estimate an age there, I'd say she's probably early 40s.
Yeah.
Like early 40s. And I think she's probably got a point in her life, especially after having been, you know, a police officer and being so chill with homicide that telling, you know, some punk who, you know, wants to cozy up in a bar to move a little further away. I think she's probably got that handled.
Yeah.
Got that sorted.
Yeah.
That was so incredibly weird. Honest with you, I'm not sure what that added to the story for me.
Yeah.
If you can illuminate me, please do.
I was trying to think about this. I think it circles back kind of to her marriage. Because, like, it was this random guy from her thing. And she, like, kind of got all dressed up
to see him.
I feel like there's a moment when she walked in when she looked a little nervous. So I was like, maybe she is going to go see this guy. But then she like, gets there and is like, maybe
so if
I don't
you got,
do
if
this.
If you got called up, like, by a high school crush, though, you know, I mean, let's fast forward, like, 20 years down the road. If you got called up by this guy who you thought was, like, super attractive in high school just randomly because he saw you do something cool on the television and he was like, we should grab a drink. Like, wouldn't you look a little nice? Wouldn't you be a little nervous?
True.
First of all, you haven't seen this person in, like, 20 years. Like, if they are what this guy ends up turning out to be, like, that's maybe not the best situation to be in.
Yeah.
And also, would you walk in looking like a scrub? Like,
yeah,
probably not.
Yeah, that's true.
Looking pretty decent.
Yeah, and then I don't really know, because he ended up being, like, crazy. Like, he ended up, like, having had a psychotic break, and the woman was still alive and everything.
Yep.
So, I'm still, like, trying to work that one out. But I do think, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me and my idea of, like, what a marriage should be. Like, she had just solved, like, this, like, quintuple homicide, like, straight up, like, shot this guy who was, like, putting people in a wood chipper, pregnant, and she was like, oh, good for you, you got a stamp on a thing, and I was like, what?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you give the other person what they need, and she might not want to sort of, like, unpack that all when she comes home. She might just want to come home, lay in bed, talk about stamps, fall asleep at 9 p.m. at night. You know, and also, she might be at a point in her life where, I don't know why we're psychoanalyzing. I'm about to get real weird. Mm-hmm. But she might be at a point in her life where this kind of stuff has happened, like, a decent amount. Probably not, this. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, people get killed everywhere, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can look up some North Dakota newspaper and find some murder in
the
past
2 weeks.
Well,
this apparently was a true story, so.
Well, don't they, in the credits, it says, like, all of this is bullcrap. Like, it's all fiction. Like,
it's
all
like credits
up.
Rolled, and I was like,
I went on a little bit of research, and everybody found that, and they were like, what the hell, man? And the Coen brothers were like, it's an amalgamation of different crimes that occurred over, like, a 15-year period. And everybody was like, yo, not the same thing, guys.
Yeah. Don't say it's a true story. Like, not like true stories in Hollywood are actually true, but still, I feel lied to.
Yeah, no, I think you raise a really interesting point in terms of, you know, a commentary on marriage there. I'm not sure if the Coen brothers had an agenda in terms of trying to, you know, or a portrayal they were specifically going for, but no, that's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
What did you not like?
What did I not like?
Or what was your absolute favorite thing, I guess? Because I think we both established that we like this movie.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
I think one of the most interesting part was how it would switch from, like, just, like, this really pleasant, like, almost, like, robotic type, like, Minnesota Nice, as I've been saying, and then it would just be, like, extreme violence. Mm. Like, it just takes a turn, like so quickly. Like, when he, like, shoots the policeman in the head, and there's just, like, blood gushing out of his head into his lap, and you're like, wow, this
is... provides really interesting contrast.
Yeah, because it goes from that, and then it goes to the violence, and then it goes straight back to just like, oh yeah, yeah. And you're like, oh,
I like how we both can't say anything else. We can only just do like those like three lines, like the you betcha. You betcha.
Oh jeez.
Oh jeez.
Yeah.
No, I think those like little moments, are the best thing about this film. I think the little moments, you know, where you see the violence and the contrast in the context of the way they've constructed this, like this landscape and this environment are really fantastic. I love those transitions. I love those transitions where the music sort of swells and it's kind of very strange, mercurial, you know, music. It's a weird score.
Yeah.
For a shot that is always very bleak, mm-hmm. very empty. But it's almost kind of cool if you think about it, at the music is sort of less for the shot and more for the undercurrents and the undertones. Yeah. You know, it's very symbolic of, oh, like, this may look like sleepy Midwest life, but there's actually like a multiple homicide. Oh, this guy might look like he's super Minnesota nice, but underneath it all, he's a manipulative jerk, mm-hmm. you know, who will, it is kind of sociopathic in his willingness to have his wife kidnapped and beaten.
Like, and they were like the most incompetent
kid. Yeah, they weren't great.
Broad daylight, you're going to kidnap her and that's, mm-hmm.
Damn it, Steve Buscemi. I thought it was one of his better performances.
Actually. Yeah, what else is he? He's in Reservoir Dogs, and he's in, like, Boardwalk Empire.
He's also in The Big Lebowski.
He is, yeah, isn't he?
He's Donnie.
Yeah.
I think that's his name.
He does.
You think after I'd seen the movie three times, I'd know better.
You would know.
C'est la vie, no. Yeah, here we go. I think overall, actually, it was good. Yeah. I was happy you chose this one.
Thank you. No problem. Yes. I try.
I mean, I did not give a great account of myself in the one time that I did make a selection. No, although, I would like to formally submit an application for blame to the halftime office, blaming Brian McMahon for my choice there.
Yeah.
For The Prestige.
That's fair.
100% Brian
McMahon. And Graham.
And
they both were like, Prestige is so good.
God. They have like a little hive mind there, though. You know, they just bro out, nerd out. Brian was on the last episode of the 250, right?
No, it was Mike.
It was Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, Mike's better. I like Mike. I don't like Brian. That's
you like
fine.
Brian?
No, I'm kidding.
I'll tell him. No,
please do.
I will. Yeah. We have your own voice.
Not
supporting.
That Brian ever listens to our mm-hmm. podcast.
He just always asks us
how this far into the podcast.
Mm-hmm. He just asks us how we felt about the movie, and we're like, maybe if you listen to the podcast where we talk about how we felt about the movie.
No, 100%. All right, finally, higher, lower, or just right? Where do you think this should have fallen on the list?
Mm. I like where it is. I think, mm-hmm. yeah, like I don't think it's a crime that it's 151. And I don't think, like, I would be, like, I could see it being higher, but I wouldn't be, like, I'm not, like, pushing it for it to be higher. It's no Intouchables.
100%.
Needs to be, like, 251.
251. 263. 587.
For real.
No. I think, how very Fargo of you? You know, it's just right.
Yeah.
Everything's just right.
It's just okay.
Perfect. All right. Mm. How are we doing on
nothing
time?
Nothing else to say? It's been, like, 20 minutes.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's a good link. Well, we're good. You're good.
I'm great.
You got nothing else to say?
I'm dandy. that was so bad.
You tried.
Just want to apologize to anybody
from the actual Midwest with that accent.
Like, I just want to submit my form for
sincere
apologies
apology.
Here.
Yeah, we have lots of forms at the voice office. Perfect. Just yeah. But so make sure to follow Halftime on Twitter at @halftimegu. Go on georgetownvoice.com/halftime to read more halftime things, articles, podcasts, all that jazz. Go on georgetownstories.com, watch my stories.
Oh my God.
See my life.
Edit that out. Edit this
Never.
Out. Edit this out.
Never.
You are terrible.
You know what? People need to know.
You're terrible.
About the quality
no,
content that is on georgetownstories.com.
Oh, yes. Quality
content. Deep, just.
I'm going to start yelling expletives so that you have to edit this out.
Well, it's fine. We'll keep it in.
Oh my God.
And think we're out.
All right. Catch you later.
Bye.